Almost on. There it is. I hear it. We're here. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning? How tired are we on a scale of 1 to 10? 10. Oof. You guys get some sleep last night? Fell asleep on the floor. Did anyone not sleep at all last night? Who got less than 5 hours of sleep? 5 or less. Yeah, that sounds about right. I feel like 6 hours of sleep at camp is like, that's a good night's sleep. You know, it's like, man, you did good. You got 8 hours of sleep, that's crazy. Are you guys sleeping better as like the week goes on? You're like, hey, like I'm getting used to the beds a little bit. Yeah, it's kind of weird when you don't have like your mattress, your pillow. Well, maybe you brought your own pillow. You probably brought your own pillow actually because you kind of have to. Otherwise, you don't have a pillow. But it's not your mattress and stuff. We have our mattresses. We have our stuff that we use to help us like fall asleep well that we're used to, right? Did anyone have a growing up? Did anyone have like a stuffed animal or something like that, or a blanket? Yeah. Okay. I want to hear. What was it? What'd you have? Either stuffed animal or blanket? Yeah, right here. A shark? That's awesome. Okay, up here, standing up. Yeah. A rainbow moose. Right on. Up here, way at the top. A big old elephant. How big are we talking? Like full size? Oh, snap. That's crazy. I don't know how. That's, yeah, right here. A big old horse? Gotcha. Okay, one more. Yes. Big old Minecraft sheet. That's awesome. When I was growing up, what I had was I had a blanket. That was like, man, that was my thing. I didn't have stuffed animals. My sister had like 1,000 stuffed animals, and I was like, I'm not gonna be like my sister. I'm gonna have a blanket. So I grew up, and I had this blanket, and it had on the blanket, it was like super soft, and like it was like falling apart because I like used it so much or whatever. I don't know. But it had this like teddy bear on it, and I was like, man, this is my blanket, and I took it everywhere with me, like wherever I was gonna go sleep. If I was going to my grandparents or something, or my friend's house, like, I guess, I don't know, at this point, I didn't really go to my friend's house too much, but going to my grandparents, or if we went on family trips and stuff, like, I brought this blanket with me, and it was like, man, I needed it. In order to sleep, I needed that thing. And it was to the point where, like, if I went somewhere, like, to my grandparents, and I forgot my blanket, I'd throw a fit. Anyone do that? Yep. I'm not alone. That's good. And I'd make my parents, like, hey, I'd be crying and stuff. I'd be like, you have to go get it, otherwise I'm not going to be able to sleep. So they'd have to, like, make another trip in order to bring me my blanket. And what that blanket did for me was, like, man, I mean, sleeping in a new place as a kid, it's kind of hard, right? And, like, the dark is a scary thing. She's like, nah, it's chill, and I just knock out. No, but for some of us, it's kind of hard. Maybe the dark's a little scary, that sort of thing. But as a kid, as long as you had your stuffed animal, whatever it was for me, if I had my blanket, man, I was good. It was like this security for me. I was like, man, it didn't matter if it was a new place. It didn't matter if it was dark. I was fine. I'd be able to sleep. I'd be able to knock out. And it became kind of like a refuge for me. My blanket became a refuge for me. You guys know what a refuge is? What's a refuge? You want to take a stab at it? Up there in the yellow. It's like a safe place, right? Yeah, especially back in like biblical times, in David's time, a refuge, his refuge is where he went. Man, if they were at war, or if he was on the run and he was like scared for his life, like, man, something is going to happen. I'm scared of what's going to happen. I'm hurting. There's pain or whatever, and I need safety. They go to their refuge. And in that place of refuge, it's a place of peace. They're like, okay, as long as I'm here, as long as I'm in my refuge, people can't touch me. They can't hurt me. When I'm in my refuge, I'm safe. I think for a lot of us growing up, like, that was our stuffed animals or our blankets, whatever it might be. They were in some ways a source of refuge for us. And I think as we grow up, like, okay, stuffed animals, blankets and stuff, it's probably not as cool. Probably lose cool points. If I still had it, you guys would be like, yeah, it's a little bit weird. But I think each of us, in some ways, I think our stuffed animals, our blankets have just turned into other things. That there's just different things that we run to when everything feels like it's going wrong, when we feel like we're in danger, when we feel like we're not safe, when we're hurting, when we're in pain, there's just different things that we run to, different things that we seek refuge in. In this morning, what we're going to see is we're going to see where it is that Job runs to, where it is that Job finds refuge when everything is going wrong. All right, so we're going to be in Job 2. Open your Bibles to Job chapter 2 if you haven't already. And yeah, we're going to get there in just a second. In chapter 2, well, last night, rather, we should probably talk about that, catch us up, make sure we're on the same page, because we slept since then, so we forget a lot of things. Last night, we saw Job's faith get tested, right? Satan challenged God and was like, hey, I bet Job only loves you. I bet Job only follows you, only trusts you, because you give him really good things. And it's because, God blessed him and stuff, and he's like, I bet if I took all that away, that Job would turn away from you. And so God allows him, and we saw that even after Job's life was devastated, even after everything was taken from him, he still worshiped God. We saw that the test revealed that Job's faith in God was incredibly strong. It's not rooted in what God does for him. It's rooted in who God is and the character of God. God being strong, being good, and being in control. Now, but Satan isn't done yet, is he? That was kind of like test number one. He's going to bring it. He's going to bring it again. And in chapter 2, we're going to see Satan once again approaches God. And once again, God is going to pose a challenge to Satan. What about Job? He is righteous. He is above. He is upright. He's righteous. He fears God. And even through all the suffering that you put him through, he still remained faithful. He still worshiped me. And Satan responds in verse 4 of chapter 2. You guys with me? Let's read it together. Chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to go to verse 6, all right? It says this. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. All that a man has given, he will give for his life. All that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life. So like Satan is like, yeah, shoot. Of course he like still follows you. Of course he still loves you. He still trusts you and stuff. Like he still has his health. He's still healthy. You didn't touch his health. But I bet if you take that away, I bet if you take his good health away and you make him suffer personally, like physically suffer, then I bet he'll turn away from you and I bet he'll curse you to your face. And God allows him to attack Job directly as long as he doesn't kill him. As long as Satan doesn't kill Job. And it says that Satan went from that place and he struck Job with loathsome sores from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. Think like boils with like pus that just like hurt, and it's like they itch and they're miserable and they're all over the body. And can you imagine that? Okay, not only have you just lost all of your oxen. Imagine you had oxen. You lost your oxen, then you had sheep, and then you lost all your sheep, and then you had camels, and you lost all your sheep, and you had a family, a bunch of kids, and you lost all your kids. It didn't stop there. All of a sudden, you're covered from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head in these boils, in these sores. I mean, have you ever, who's gotten bitten by mosquitoes up here since we've been up here? Yeah? How many mosquito bites? 5, 2, 1. Yeah, a good amount. Can you imagine what it would be like? What it would be like if you had mosquito bites from the bottom of your feet all the way up your shins, all the way up your legs, all the way up your stomach, all the way up your chest, all the way up your neck, all the way to the top of your head? Can you imagine how badly you'd itch? How much it would hurt? How painful it would be? It says that Job takes broken pieces of like pottery, of clay, and is just scratching his skin with it because it's so like annoying and so painful. He's scratching and it's horrible. I can't even imagine. How would you respond? How would you respond? I would be like, honestly, God, call it. I'm done. I'm tapping out. That's it for me. I can't imagine that. Job's faith in this moment is really being put to the test. And we're really going to see just how strong his faith in the Lord is. And it's going to do something in Job. It's going to do something in him. So how does Job respond? Job, go to Job 3, verses 1 through 4. Job 3, probably on the same page, maybe on the next one. Job 3 says, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, let the day perish on which I was born, and the night that said, a man is conceived, let that day be darkness. May God above not see it, nor light shine upon it. Job cries out, now I wish I had never been born. I wish that had never happened. He's in such pain and suffering that he wishes that he had never even existed. So it would have been better if I just hadn't existed. If I just wasn't even here, this is horrible. And he doesn't even stop there. He skips on. He goes on. Skip down to verse 11 of chapter 3. He said, why did I not die at birth? Come out from the womb and expire. He's wishing, man, if only I could have died at birth, that would be better than this. That would be better than the intense suffering and despair that I'm currently in. He's in despair. But he's not hiding it. He's not hiding it, and he's not stuffing it down. He's voicing it. He's saying, man, this is horrible. Jump down to chapter 7. Jump to chapter 7, a couple pages over. Chapter 7. See what we see in the middle section of Job, like the middle, like 35 chapters or so, is this dialogue between Job and his friends. And Job speaks, and then his friends respond. And we have all these dialogues back and forth. And what we're going to look at today, and what we're already looking at, is we're looking at Job's response to his suffering. Okay? And we're kind of going to summarize it a little bit. And then tonight, we're going to look at the friend's response to his suffering. So we jump down to chapter 7, verse 19 to 21. And Job's response, it starts to shift a little bit here. He begins to ask the question that I think all of us have asked at some point. All right, so what chapter are we in now? What verse? You guys are dialed in. Let's go. All right, it says this. Job says this. How long will you not look away from me, nor leave me alone? He's talking to God here. How long will you not look away from me, nor leave me alone till I swallow my spit? If I sin, what do I do to you, you watcher of mankind? Why have you made me your mark? Why have I become a burden to you? Why do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now I shall lie in the earth. You will seek me, but I shall not be. Job responds with a question that I think all of us ask at some point. He says, why? Why, God? Why am I suffering? Why am I hurting? Why is this happening to me? Have you ever asked God why? You ever been in a situation where you're hurting, you're suffering, you're just like, man, why? I don't understand. God, why did my friends have to move away? God, why did I not make that sports team? God, why did my grandma have to die? God, why did my parents have to get divorced? God, why? It doesn't make sense. About a year and a half ago or so, I did a hospital visit for a student that had been coming into our youth group for a couple times. And he had a history of some bad health and some really bad seizures and health problems. And this time he had a really bad seizure, and it essentially left him brain dead. So I went to the hospital to be with him and to be with the family and to pray for him. And the doctors are kind of saying, like, there's really nothing that we can do at this point. Really nothing that we can do. And so I'm with the family in this room that they were keeping him in, and I'm praying with the family. I'm talking with them. We start praying over their son. And as I'm praying over this kid, I'm praying for a miracle. And his mom starts to cry out to God, saying, why? Why, God, are you taking my son? Why? Suffering leaves us hurting and confused. It doesn't make sense. And at some point, each and every one of us is going to ask God, why? Why are you letting this happen? It doesn't make sense to me, God. And where we turn to in these moments, in those moments, will be some of the most defining moments of our lives. We will either let our anger towards God and our confusion drive us away from Him. Drive us away, and we'll choose to run to something else for comfort and security. And it'll drive us away from Him. Or we will let our confusion and our anger drive us closer to Him. Bringing our anger and our confusion and all of our raw feelings to the Lord. Bringing that to Him. See, that's one of the things that suffering does to us. It reveals to us what we run to. It reveals to us what we seek to cope with. You see, suffering, it refines our faith. suffering refines our faith, kind of like gold is refined in fire. Do you guys know how gold is refined in fire? You take this nugget of gold or whatever, and they put it in fire, and they refine it. And what it does, the fire, the hardship, it burns away all of the impurities. It takes all of the deficits out. And so when that piece of gold comes out of the fire, it's more pure. The deficiencies are gone. The impurities are gone. And what you're left with is gold that is far more pure. Our suffering refines us. It shows us if there is something that we run to apart from God. It shows us if there's something else that we run to for comfort or for security to make us feel better, to help us out, to make us feel like things are okay. Shows us there's something that we run to apart from God. It reveals what our new stuffed animals or our blankets are. It reveals to us what we find refuge in. And I've seen myself in my life turn to all sorts of different things apart from God when I face suffering in my own life. I think that one of the biggest things that I turn to, and I think one of the biggest things that we here in the U.S. kind of turn to when we're faced with suffering is just numbing out. Just trying to be like, man, I just don't want to think about it. I want to check out. I want to find something that's just going to distract me, something that's just going to keep my mind off of it, something that's going to occupy my mind and maybe just make me happy for a little bit and make me feel like, man, everything is okay right now and it's well because I'm not thinking about that thing. I've watched a lot of Netflix over the years. When things aren't going well and I'm hurting, I'm like, you know, let's find something fun and happy that's on so that I cannot feel whatever it is that I'm feeling. You guys know how many times I've watched The Office through? So many times. So many times. Just turning to that to be like, I just don't want to feel what I'm feeling. I want to run from it. I want to numb out. I don't want to feel it. Or video games. Man, I played so much video games over the year just trying to be like, I want to get lost in this fake world so that I can feel better about what's happening in the real world. You guys ever heard of Skyrim? Okay, a couple of us. I'm showing like how nerdy I am in this. I put so many days into Skyrim. Just being like, I want to escape into this world. Spent days just avoiding whatever pain and hurt is happening in the real world. Maybe for you it's something different. Maybe for you it's Instagram or TikTok. And it's like, man, something bad happens and you just like, it's like instinct. You just pull out your phone and start scrolling. Because what are you doing in that moment? You're escaping. It's like, okay, I'm not thinking about what's going on. Something bad just happened, but it's okay. I pull up my phone. It's like, okay, we're here. I don't even know what's going on around me. I'm distracting myself. Distracting myself. I do that all the time. We get lost in the death scroll, just trying to avoid what's happening in real life. There are plenty of other things that we turn to in our suffering, things that we turn to try to make ourselves feel better, not just numb out, to be like, man, this is actually going to make me feel better. It's going to fix things. Man, I know my situation is horrible, but man, if I can perform really well on the baseball field, that was me, if I could just do that really well, then it's okay, then that suffering is okay, and I can escape it, and things will be all right. Or if I could just become popular, if I can get people to like me, then it's like, it's okay, that may be, I may have just lost someone I love, but it's okay because everyone else likes me, so I'm feeling good. We run to that for refuge. We run to that to feel safe. We run to that, these different things to make us feel like we're okay, to give us peace. But man, I bet that you found that those things only help for a second. And that the feelings of pain and hurt, they start to come right back. Start to come right back up. What we try and do is we try and stuff them down, like trying to push a beach ball down in water. We put so much effort into pushing it down, but inevitably it's going to come back up. Inevitably it's going to come back up. And then we just find ourselves in this cycle of constantly trying to find something that is going to make us feel better. It's really like you've got this weight attached to you, and you're just trying to find some way to distract you from this weight. Trying to distract you from whatever it is that you're hurting in, whatever it is that is causing you suffering, or like it's this rain cloud, and you're just trying to outrun it, just trying to keep away from it, just trying to be like, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to touch it, I don't even want to acknowledge that it's there. But no matter what you do, you just can't quite get away from it. It's always there. See, the things of this world won't give us peace or rest from our pain and suffering. They can't provide the true security and comfort that we need. But there's another option. Instead of running away from God and seeking to find comfort and refuge in the things of this world, we can run towards God with what we're feeling, just like we see Job do. You see, Job does not pretend that everything's okay. He's not like, oh no, it's fine. Like, yeah, I lost everything, but it's okay. I just got the picture. It's like a meme of like the, I don't even know what it is, but the house is burning all around him, but she's just smiling. She's like, yeah, everything's fine. That's not Job. Job's not like trying to pretend that everything's okay. He's not trying to put a fake smile on and then go talk to God. No. He goes to God with where he is at. He brings all of his anger, all of his pain, all of his frustration to God, and he's honest with God about it. Being like, this is where I'm at. This is how horrible it is. I wish I wasn't born, God. This is horrible. Why is this happening to me? He goes to God honestly with where he's at. Because God is not too big for that. He's not too small for that. He's big enough to hold our true feelings. He's big enough for us to be honest and really, really honest, even when it's ugly, with him. God does not want our fake feelings. He doesn't want us to be like, yeah, like just pretending like, oh, it's okay, God. And yeah, I'm thankful. I know I'm supposed to be thankful. And yeah, these are the different things that I'm grateful for. I think sometimes we do that. I think sometimes we're taught to do that. Man, to go to God, and you should always be thankful. Always be like, yes, okay, God, I'm happy and you're good and all this stuff. And you can't question or anything. I don't know if that's true. We see in Job that even when he's angry and confused, he runs to God with it, knowing that his feelings are not too big for God. Jesus says in Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus doesn't say, come to me when you're feeling better. Come to me when you're grateful, when you're thankful, when things are going good. Yeah, then come to me. No. He says, come to me, you who are hurting and tired. I will give you rest. Friends, God is the only one that can truly be our source of refuge. Only as we bring our pain and our hurt to him can we begin to find peace and rest from it. And this is what Job does right. In the midst of intense hardship and suffering, in the midst of his confusion, in the midst of his anger towards God, when he's angry at God for what's happening, he brings it to God. He doesn't let it drive him away from God. He lets it drive him closer to God. He lets it be like, God, I don't understand. I'm gonna go to you. And I wonder, man, can we be like Job in that? Can we allow our suffering to refine us? Allow our suffering to grow us, to reveal what we'd run to apart from God, and instead bring it to God. Let it be like, hey, I think I find myself running towards this false refuge, this thing of this world to try and make me feel better, to try and find any source of peace or anything, and be like, no, wait a second. God, I don't want to do that. I want to turn to you. I want to bring this to you. There's a quote by a guy named Charles Spurgeon, and he says, I have learned to kiss the wave that crashes me up against the rock of ages. I think that's an awesome quote. I've learned to kiss the wave that pushes me up against the rock of ages. Waves in the ocean are like, they're brutal and that's rough, and you've ever find yourself just like in the ocean getting tossed around by these different waves and stuff, it's hard, it's rough, you don't like it. But Charles Spurgeon makes a point, he's like, man, these waves, these moments of suffering that I'm experiencing in my life, what they're doing is they're making me dependent on God, the rock of ages. And so when a wave comes, it actually, he lets it push him towards God so that, man, he is closer to God, more dependent on God, and God becomes his refuge. And when we let suffering do that for us, when we let suffering be like, hey, I'm not gonna try and just avoid things and run away from it and maybe let suffering drive me away from God. I'm going to let it actually drive me towards God, to where I'm closer with him, to where I'm more dependent on him. When we start to do that, man, suffering kind of starts to take a different take in our minds. And so my question for you this morning, is, man, what are the things that you run to for safety and security? What are the things that you run to try and find refuge in apart from God? What are the things of this world that you try and run to maybe numb out, maybe escape, to maybe make yourself feel better? Is it sports? Is it popularity? Is it just TikTok and Instagram? Whatever it might be, those things can't give you the peace and rest that you can find in Christ. As you run to him with your hurt and with your pain. You see, it may not be that God is going to change or fix your situation. It may not be that, like, hey, you're going to go to him and you're going to pray and then boom, everything's better. In fact, it probably won't be. It may be that he just wants you to seek him in the midst of your pain and in your suffering. And as we seek him in the midst of our pain and our suffering, he gives us peace in the midst of it. Peace in knowing that he is in control. Peace in knowing that he is good and he loves us in that. And God starts to become our refuge. Yesterday's memory verse says, I say these things, Jesus said, I say these things that in me you may find peace. That is a peace that transcends every situation. As we run to him, seeking refuge in him, knowing that, man, we are with him. And when we're with him, that is the safest place that we can be. That is the best place that we can possibly be, even if it means that, man, we're with him, but we're crying out in anger and confusion towards him. So this morning, let's wrestle with that. Man, what does suffering do in your life? Is it driving you away to God, seeking to find things in the world to make you feel better? Or is it driving you closer to the Rock of Ages, to the one that is in control, the one that is good, the only one that can give you true peace and true comfort? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our refuge. God, I pray that you would teach us what it means to seek you, to lament, to cry out to you in pain and in hurt and suffering, to be like, God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't get it. This doesn't make sense. God, why? But in the midst of that, to be like, I'm not going to let it drive me away from you, God. I'm going to let it drive me closer to you as I seek answers, as I seek to just be in your presence, knowing that you are in control and knowing that you are ultimately good and I can trust you in that. God, teach us to suffer well. Refine us. Grow and increase our faith so that it may be more refined, like gold refined in fire. God, you are so good. Thank you for the peace that we find in your presence, the peace that we find in knowing that you are in control, and that in the end, we know that we have hope in you and eternal life in you. In your name, amen.